Thanks, everyone. Tim, alcoholic. All righty, so we're on the bottom of 63. How it works. Last week, we finished our session with taking the third step prayer. And before we did that, we did the first and second step over again. So as a group, we have done one, two, and three. And now we start where it's a little bit of an observation on my part that we lose a lot of people. And we lose a lot of people, I think, because it looks like it's really hard to do this next thing, which is step four. And I hope that what we get from tonight is that it's not that difficult. And let's get to it. Bottom of 63. Next, meaning right after we did the third step prayer, immediately after. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us have never attempted. Though our decision, meaning third step, was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face, which is step four and five, and to be rid of, meaning six, seven, eight, and nine, the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Blocking us from what? Our higher power. For us to have made a transformation from being selfish, self-centered, to being altruistic. To be giving rather than taking. That's what it's blocking us from. The whole purpose of the first 11 steps is to do good 12 step. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. That's what the fourth step sheets are, a personal inventory. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure, being convinced that self, manifested in various ways, was what had defeated us. We considered its common manifestations. So, what are we considering? We're considering the various manifestations of self. Selfishness, self-centered, self-pity, self-delusion. If you basically do almost anything and do self-dash, that's what they're talking about, right? This is about a program of changing from self to thou. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. What's the definition of resentment? To refeel. If you're home at 2 o'clock in the morning staring at the ceiling about Joe, that's a resentment. You're re-feeling it. It's anger, you're hurt, whatever. It's re-feeling. So the purpose of doing a resentment sheet is to get rid of the resentment because at the top of the page is telling us it's blocking us from the higher power. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. How many times does it say disease in the first 164 pages? One, and that's it. It doesn't refer to alcoholism as a disease. It refers here that we have a spiritual malady, a spiritual disease. It's the only place in 164 pages it says disease. It uses disease in the stories. But the American Medical Association deemed alcoholism a disease, I believe, in 55. Read that again. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. So typically we hear in the program, it's a twofold disease, mental, physical. I think it's just as apropos to call it a threefold disease, mental, physical, and spiritual. You can do it either way, I believe. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Wait a minute, what's it saying? We don't really have to worry about the mental and the physical? Right, you only worry about the spiritual. It fixes the mental and the physical. Physical is a moot point. If you don't put the booze in your mouth, can't kick up. If you have an allergy to shellfish and you don't eat shellfish, you don't have a problem, right? But we have no defense against the first drink. If we use self-will, as we see in step one, unmanageable life, if we use self-will to not drink, we will drink. We have no defense against it. The only way to get a defense is to deal with it from a spiritual standpoint. Fix the spiritual malady and you fix the whole boat. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. Hence the sheet of paper you have in front of you now. So if everybody would take a look at that real quick, please. So this is our resentments sheet. Please note column one. Column one. It says in column one, we listed people, institutions, or principals with whom we were angry. I just read that from the book. We listed people, institutions, or principals with whom we were angry. Direct quote from the book. Column two, next sentence from the book. We asked ourselves why we were angry. And this is also where it's showing us we do these things on the sheet from top to bottom, meaning we follow the instructions of the first sentence first. We list all the people or institutions we have the problem with. We don't move to column two until we did all of column one. There's the instruction for that, right? We'll continue on. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore, we were burned up. On our grudge list, meaning this resentment sheet, we set opposite each name our injuries. So look at column three on the sheet. I'm going to read right from the book. Column three, right from the book. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with? Column three. We were usually as definite as this example. So now the big book authors write in the text here an example of a written inventory. Now in this case, they're using three columns. Whether you use three columns, six columns, nine columns, irrelevant. The idea is that you get it down. I happen to think if you read the text, there's five columns for resentments. But I'm flexible, right? So let's watch. And also you'll notice on the resentment sheets under column 1, 2, and 3, it says, I am resentful at the cause and affects my. Took it right from the book, right? So here it is. I am resentful at Mr. Brown. The cause, his attention to my wife, affects my sex relations and my self-esteem as manifested in fear. Right? It's really, if you peel the onion back further on self-esteem, typically it's fear, right? I am resentful at Mr. Brown, the cause, told my wife of my mistress, affects my sex relations, self-esteem via fear. I am resentful at Mr. Brown, the cause, Brown may get my job at the office, affects my security, meaning financial, and self-esteem, again, manifestation of fear. I am resentful at Mrs. Jones. She's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. Affects my personal relationship and self-esteem again through fear. I am resentful at my employer. The cause, unreasonable, unjust, overbearing, threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. Affects my self-esteem. Again, fear and security, meaning financial there. I am resentful at my wife. The cause: misunderstands and nags, likes Brown, wants house put in her name, affects my pride, personal sex relations, security, as manifested through fear. We went back through our lives. Nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. Thoroughness and honesty. Nothing counted but that. When we finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that this world and its peoples were often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. How far? What are they talking about? Looking at the first three columns only. It's that person, that reason, and what it's done to me. Stopping at that point, often that happens in therapy, right? We stop right at that point, and there's no relief from that point. You have to continue with the plan. Here it is. Here's the warning. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore, meaning we continued to have a resentment which blocked us from our higher power, which is what our real job is, step 12. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore at ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, selfish, self-centered, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. In other words, our life remained unmanageable because we were using self-will. It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? Worthwhile doing what? Helping others. So these five sentences tell us why we do a fourth step. Next five sentences, watch for it. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal, for when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit, capital S. The insanity of alcohol returns, and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. Pretty straightforward. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch, we know what grouch means, and the brainstorm were not for us. And I had to look up brainstorm. It's a moment in which one is suddenly unable to think clearly or act sensibly. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men. So it's doubtful. Do you see what the Big Book authors just did there? It's doubtful that they can do it either, normal men. Right? We definitely can't, but they're giving some latitude. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. Anger equals death. We turned back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle, so we'd be looking at it at exactly the same angle if we only looked at three columns. To see the different angle, we're going to have to go further. We began to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. So the resentments were beyond human aid also. It just said it. We could not wish them away any more than alcohol. It's a spiritual game to get rid of them. This was our course. We realized the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. So it's a different perspective about what Joe did to me. It's a completely different perspective. We're recognizing that they and us are the same. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. That's the different perspective. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. So those are all assets: tolerance, pity, and patience. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, here's the fourth step prayer. This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. Now, where else do we learn about resentments and prayer and how we can get rid of things? Page 552. Let's go there. I set you up with that question. Top of the page, 552. So this is in the story Freedom from Bondage, written by Wynne Laws. Wynne Laws Quorum was her other married name, but Wynne Laws. And I'm just going to read you what she says, and I refer people to this all the time to get rid of the noise in their head, right? I'm going to read the second line. I'm going to start up top. A banner across one featured an article by a prominent clergyman in which I caught the word resentment. Who's the clergyman that she's reading? Norman Vincent Peale. He said, in effect, if you have a resentment you want to be free of, if you will pray for the person or the thing that you resent, you will be free. If you will ask in prayer for everything you want for yourself to be given to them, you will be free. Ask for their health, their prosperity, their happiness, and you will be free. Even when you don't really want it for them, and your prayers are only words, and you don't mean it, go ahead and do it anyway. Do it every day for 2 weeks, and you will find you have come to mean it and to want it for them. And you will realize that where you used to feel bitterness and resentment and hatred, you now feel compassionate understanding and love. It worked for me then, and it has worked for me many times since, and it will work for me every time I am willing to work it. Sometimes I have to ask first for the willingness, but it too always comes. And because it works for me, it will work for all of us. As another great man says, who's that? Chuck Chamberlain, Chuck C. New pair of glasses? The only real freedom a human being can ever know is doing what you ought to do because you want to do it. This great experience that released me from the bondage of hatred and replaced it with love is really just another affirmation of the truth I know. I get everything I need in Alcoholics Anonymous, and everything I need, I get. And when I get what I need, I invariably find that it was just what I wanted all the time. Powerful. Back to page 67. First paragraph. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. Those are two assets, right? Kindly and tolerant. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done. In other words, we're putting out of our mind column two. It's irrelevant. We resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? So if you look at column four, you need to find in your behavior all of those traits, not some, all. It's and. And we're going to see on another page where that comes from, right? So that's column four. That's where we're first starting to see our part in it. But we want to go deeper. We want to find out the exact nature of our wrongs, right? We want to peel the onion back further. Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? Column 5. Where were we to blame? Continuing column 5. The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. And then in addition to that, we have on our fifth column there the prayer from page 67, which we read up at the top. We called it the fourth step prayer. And you can see there in column 5, we've written the prayer in there for future reference. And before I just read these last couple of lines, I do want to say this. I just wanted to give you one example, because this is the place where you're going to stub your toe at least once. I've stubbed my toe a couple times on it. So let's just pretend for a second you're a little boy, you're age 4, and your uncle inappropriately touched you at age 4. And we do this process, and we get to hear, and me as a sponsor, I say, well, but what's your part in it? What's your part in it? And the guy looks at you like, what do you mean? I'm 4. I didn't know. How could I have any part in it? You're right. But the part we're looking for there is that you're holding the resentment. The resentment is blocking you from your higher power. So if you can't find your part in it, the drunk driver ran into your car, you were stopped correctly at the light, and your life was devastated from that point on. You said, I don't have a part in it. Well, if you held the resentment, there's your part in it. That's what we're looking for. So you can come up with a bunch of machinations on how you could build a scenario where it would appear that you don't have a part in it. The resentment will always be one that you can choose. You may have more, but you can always fall back on that. We must let it go, or what? We drink, and then it kills us. And then that's selfish. Why is it selfish? Because we're supposed to be doing step 12. And if you're dead and you're not doing step 12, that's selfish. I'll read the last three lines, and then we'll stop tonight. We place them before us in black and white. And that's the instructions that tell me there's a column 4 and a column 5. We place them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. We'll stop there tonight.